When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Managing Madrid podcast. We are live from Valdebebas, Real Madrid City, and Real Madrid's training session just concluded. Everyone but Militao and Alaba healthy and ready to go. And Carlo Ancelotti and Camavinga will speak in about 1 hour or so. And myself, Kian Sobani, I'm joined by Lucas Navarrete and Jose Perez today to preview tomorrow's game against Leipzig at the Bernabeu, second leg, Champions League, round of 16, our bread and butter, our competition. Let's go. Big game tomorrow. Jose, Lucas, welcome. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fine, Kian. Thanks for having me. Hello, Jose.
Same here. Hello, Kian. Hello, Lucas. Hello, everyone. Glad to be here and talk about the game.
You know what I just realized, Lucas? Your Nuggets hat matches the Managing Madrid logo in the top corner there.
Nice. That's right.
Mile High, Mile High City, Denver Nuggets. It's very close to Managing Madrid. I don't know. I mean, you preceded me. I was not there at the beginning of Managing Madrid. Maybe you had something to do with that. The Nuggets, no. The Managing Madrid colors. I don't know.
No. I didn't have anything to do with the logo or the colors or anything. Maybe I would have. I don't know. The Vikingos part of it is. Real Madrid kind of went away from it, so maybe I would have chosen something different from what the current logo is, but anyway, it still looks good in my opinion. Yeah,
well, someone, it's funny you say that, because someone actually, one of our Patreon members sent us a DM saying, why do you guys have a Viking in your logo? It has nothing to do with Real Madrid. Well, it does historically.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, well, we won't get into it now, but it does. So just for anyone else who was wondering, it very much is tied into our history. All right, Jose, I want to start with you. So we all saw that Leipzig game, and it seemed like an eternity ago. Since then, Leipzig, since they lost to Real Madrid at home, they beat Mönchengladbach 2-0, lost to Bayern away 2-1, and then most recently beat Bochum 4-1 away from home. We struggled in that game. We were also missing a bunch of players. Our center back pairing was Tchouaméni and Nacho. That was not fun, although Tchouaméni, I thought, really stepped up in that game. Andre Lunin had the game of his life, literally the best game of his career so far, and equaled Thibaut Courtois' 9 saves in a win, going back to the Champions League final against Liverpool. So we got good individual performances. Brahim Diaz, masterclass, Golazo. What do we have to improve on, Jose, since that night?
Oh, there are a lot of things that could be improved. So I think the main things that I'm thinking about going into this game is that it would be nice to just be able to go back to what I consider to be the starting midfield of Tchouaméni, Kroos, Valverde, and Bellingham, simply because as much as I think Tchouaméni has been doing a good shift at center back, I think the team is really missing him in midfield at the moment. Like, that has been for a while my main argument against having Tchouaméni at the center back, that he's sorely needed at the six right now. I think if you have Tchouaméni in midfield and Bellingham, and with Bellingham back, then that makes defending Leipzig's counterattacks a lot easier, because I think that was one of the bigger issues that I saw in that game. So Leipzig are not, I don't find them tactically to be the most interesting team, but if you give their attackers, especially Olmo and Simmons, like space to run at you, they are extremely dangerous. And I think in that game, they got a lot of space to run. And a lot of that was that we could not shut down the counterattacks, because I think one thing where I think Bellingham is a bit underrated is just how he helps your team defend these counters, because you lose the ball, like you lose the ball next to the opposition's box, and then Bellingham is just really good at the counter pressing tasks. And And then you also, and behind him, you have Tchouaméni pushing back. These two guys stop a lot of counters before they even begin. And they were really missing in the first leg against Leipzig.
Lucas, I was telling you before we started recording that, you know, something about this one tomorrow that makes me feel uneasy. But that's also just the fan side of me talking and a little bit of nerves. But if you look at this logically, and Jose, you brought it up too. I mean, something I forgot to mention right off the bat was that Jude Bellingham was not in the lineup that night in Leipzig. Luckily, Brahim stepped up and was amazing. But everyone is pretty much healthy. Like, you know, we saw Courtois training. Obviously, he's not going to have any part in this. But everyone but Militao and Alaba. The team is coming off, I don't know what you call it, what should have been, what would have been, epic remontada, which was cut short by Gil Manzano, but the fire is there certainly, and this is our stadium, and there's a lot to look forward to in this game. And one thing that I like about this situation is that Leipzig, who are not that tactically astute this season, they give a lot of space in transition, have to chase the game at the Bernabeu, and I just like that scenario a lot, and I think we can exploit that space. They are error prone at the back as well if we put a little bit of pressure on them. I like that. A lot of the analysis and the tactical preview is pretty much the same as we did for the first leg, Jose, because we did that as well. I think that applies here, but I think we also were a little bit caught off guard with Leipzig in the first leg, and I think we have the scouting report now.
I agree. I think that, you know, there's a reason why Real Madrid have not been at their best in recent weeks. The track record is there in La Liga, unfortunately. On the other hand, you know, they've been able to survive just fine thanks to the mistakes from Barca and Girona both. But it's true that Real Madrid are kind of slowing down a little bit, or have slowed down a little bit in the last month or so. There have not been as many encouraging signs as in other months. But again, I think that this is a very good, as you mentioned, a very good scenario for Madrid in this return leg. I think that having the opportunity to counterattack and to exploit Leipzig's defensive vulnerability in transition maybe will be ideal for Madrid. On the other hand, it's true that, you know, they could put some pressure on you if they, during the first 10, 15 minutes, if you don't manage to start and kick the game off with the intensity that is required and needed. But obviously, I mean, you should be able to do that at the Bernabeu. Again, you should be able to bring that kind of focus and intensity. So, I mean, it should not be a problem. But as Jose mentioned in his first intervention here, I think that I'm looking forward to seeing Tchouaméni playing as a defensive midfielder again, and maybe not seeing Kroos as the anchor as often as we've seen in the past because of the injuries and all that. So I think this is something Valencia exploited during that first half, that horrendous first half in Mestalla. Kroos wasn't that effective as a defensive midfielder and all that. So I'm looking forward to kind of bringing the old lineup of Tchouaméni as a defensive midfielder once again, and letting Kroos be a central midfielder once again. So looking forward to the game, because I think this is a good opportunity for Real Madrid to bounce back from the last few results and kind of maybe regain some confidence and momentum for what's ahead.
Well, here's a question for you. I agree with everything you said. I like the idea of Tchouaméni back to DM. Camavinga is about to speak in the press conference in about an hour. Mm-hmm. That means he's starting. Mm-hmm. Does he start as the DM? Are you putting Tchouaméni and Camavinga both in midfield? What is he going to do?
I don't see Ancelotti dropping Kroos for this one, so I'm guessing that maybe Nacho is not that ready to start just yet, or maybe Tchouaméni is just ahead of him in the rotation right now. I agree with you that Camavinga being the man and speaking in press conference certainly indicates that he's going to start. I don't think this is like a written rule or anything like that, but it's true that it will be weird.
Has that ever happened when that player hasn't started the next day?
Ever is a,
I actually don't know, it's a very strong word,
I guess, but it's definitely, sample size suggests that Kamavinga is definitely going to start. But maybe Tchouaméni is just ahead of Nacho in the rotation right now at this point. And maybe this is just the case, and Tchouaméni is going to start as a center back at the time being, with Nacho being a reserve. This is something we were advocating for the last few weeks, so I'm fine with that decision if that's the case. Maybe this is something you can actually ask Ancelotti in the press conference right now. What's going on with the rotation? I mean, the official version is going to be Nacho is not 100%.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he came off the bench the other day, so I mean, it's a bit of a head scratching answer, if you will. But yeah, go ahead.
But they span that off as Nacho has quote unquote muscular discomfort, which
he came off the bench in a very intense second half.
Well, that's the thing. If that were true, he probably wouldn't have come off the bench at all.
In a very intense second half, mind you, again, the game was very intense. Even a very cold night in Valencia for what's usually the temperature in Valencia. So again, if he's actually having some kind of muscular discomfort, it was a bit weird seeing him coming off the bench with Real Madrid kind of kicking their tires after the going after the win. So I don't know. I'm not sure I buy into this problems or this discomfort much.
I initially believed it because
I did too. Yeah,
because Ancelotti, like before in a previous press conference, said that if Nacho was healthy, if we have two center backs, Tchouaméni is not going to be center back. It's an emergency. But then when I saw Nacho come off the bench, I was like,
that's weird. Yeah.
So there would go your dream of having Tchouaméni as back to DM.
It would not be a problem for me if Kamavinga starts as a DM, though. I just want to see Kroos being the central midfielder again. It's true that when Kamavinga plays,
they switch.
Yeah, they switch, and it's not as pure as Tchouaméni DM, which is 100% the case when Tchouaméni and Kroos are on the field. Like, Tchouaméni is the DM and Kroos is the central midfielder. When Kamavinga is there, it's definitely not as whenever Tchouaméni starts. But as long as Kroos is able to play as a central midfielder and kind of gives Real Madrid the opportunity to have a more defensive oriented player as a DM, I would be fine with that.
Jose, where are you on this? We have two separate two separate conversations almost. You got, if Tchouaméni and Nacho are both healthy, who is the best center back partner for Rudiger? And also how that affects the midfield, where Kamavinga, Cruz get deployed.
Yeah, and it is true that they're in a way like two separate discussions, because I do think, because I am really on the side of like, I think Tchouaméni at this point is at a better level than Nacho for the center back position. At the same time, I value his contribution in midfield enough that I would prefer him at midfield rather than Kamavinga, and especially in a game like this. So the thing with Kamavinga is that, first of all, we have to say that Leipzig is going to start like pressing again, I presume, for this one. I was discussing this with a German football analyst, because I watched their game against Bayern. They were rather passive, and I'm like, are they going to do this against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu? And it's like, and the guy told me they don't have anything to lose. So yeah, even if they go lose 5-0 because they press too strongly, it's not really going to affect their season much. So they will likely go press, especially like the first 20 minutes of the game. So that's the one thing what we should expect. And in those situations, of course, Kamavinga can deal with the turn under pressure really well. My concern is that it's also a bit of a coin flip, is in that then he tries like a really risky pass, really risky decision, or switches off or like makes a mistake with a pass that shouldn't happen. And then you lose the ball in a position where you wouldn't like to lose it. And that's kind of the difference with Tchouaméni, that it's like, it's a bit risk reward. Like, Tchouaméni takes fewer risks, might not lead to such a good attacking play, but he's going to keep the ball without losing it. With Kamavinga, you could lose the ball in a compromised position. So that's one thing. Then the other thing is just defensively, Olmo and Xavi Simons tend to be quite sneaky at receiving in between the lines, and that's really where they're best, because Like if you can manage to get those two guys to receive the ball next to the wing, you can corner them more easily. It gets really dangerous when they get to receive inside and then they connect with the other attackers. And for example, Tchouaméni tends to be better at screening, let's say, the back of the midfield line, and make sure that that these attackers won't receive comfortably. Camavinga is a bit more messy positionally, so that's a bit my concern about Camavinga on defense.
It's interesting to reflect on this on the first leg again too, and the threat of Olmo and Xavi Simons, and you kind of touched on their brilliance, but their ability to be unpredictable with their off-ball runs and pop up into different zones, and in Xavi Simons' case, can also just carry the ball through defensive lines and in transition. He's obviously a really fun player to watch. Just looking at the matchups, one thing that is interesting to me, and Jose, we both know that every time we do a preview podcast, that it's Vinicius versus X right back that we look at. And I thought Simikin actually defended Vinicius well in the first leg, and Klosterman also on the inside provided good coverage. And I just wonder, and still Vinicius had his moments. He had like an incredible Trivella pass. He had a shot that hit the post. That's something that I'm going to look at. I predict a big night from Vinny for two reasons. One is that he has Jude alongside him. And two, again, just given the fact that Leipzig have to chase the game, there will probably be more space, right? I'm going to bring up a quick super chat.
Yeah, I agree. And something... Oh, yeah.
No, go finish your thought. Finish.
So Camavinga will be at the presser. Yeah. So so I was looking at the Bayern game. The other thing that I noticed is that, okay, so Bayern struggled because they couldn't, they had buildup issues. They couldn't reach their attackers. But once the ball reached the attackers, like all of these guys, Musiala, Kane, Sané, they did a lot of, they had a lot of threat when they were running at Leipzig's defense. So that I found interesting because I could see Bellingham and Vinicius and Rodrigo run into a similar situation where if you get these guys running at the Leipzig defense, they're going to create something and it's going to be quite dangerous. Also, Leipzig's defense tends to be a bit messy when defending their box, which is one of those times where I'm like, it would be nice to see what, say, Joselu could do there, because it's just... like, he's just the kind of guy who's good at finding those shots in the box, and just Leipzig center backs are not good at defending that. So those are some good opportunities that Real Madrid could get. The other reason, thinking back on the Tchouaméni and Camavinga thing, like the other nice thing about having Tchouaméni at center back is that last time, unfortunately, Nacho made Sesko look a lot better than what he actually is, in my opinion. So having Rüdiger and Tchouaméni there might make it easier to defend Openda and Sesko.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I feel like I'm, you know, maybe getting ahead of myself, but I feel like the lineup kind of picks itself tomorrow. So going back to the first leg, this is what we had. Lunin, Carvajal, Tchouaméni, Nacho, Mendy, Fede, Toni, Kroos, Camavinga, Brahim Diaz, Rodrigo, Vinicius. So Jude will slot in for Brahim. And that will really be the only change apart from Nacho, is the question mark, and because Rudiger is back. So The real question mark to me is, will Nacho start? And I think if you read the tea leaves from the Valencia game and also going back to his performance against Leipzig in the first leg, which was quite frankly terrible, and if not for Tchouameni and Lunin that night, it would not have been a clean sheet. I think it would just make sense to go with the Tchouameni-Rudiger pairing and then put Camavinga, Cruz as the, you know, the six, where on offense it's Cruz, on defense it's Camavinga who goes there. And that works.
I have my thoughts on the whole, on offense it's Cross, on defense it's Camavinga, which is 100% the way it goes.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not trying to say you're wrong. I'm just not entirely comfortable with Cross defending transition opportunities, man. It's something Valencia tried to exploit the other day. It's obviously Cross' main vulnerability, but having him playing the DM on offense makes sense because of the ball progression, obviously, from the defensive line. But on the other hand, it makes you kind of vulnerable in transition if Camavinga and the first line of press is not that effective, right? So
if you lose the ball, basically.
Yeah, if you lose the ball or if, again, if Camavinga and Tchouameni are not, Camavinga and Valverde are not that effective recovering the ball, and or even Mendy, Kroos is just, quite frankly, very exposed in that kind of context. So that's my main concern about having Kroos and taking on this kind of role. Anyway, it's just the way Ancelotti has gone after the first third of the season, maybe. So we'll see if that continues. I want to maybe bring another topic here, Kian.
Okay.
Do we feel this is like a very, very good and crucial opportunity for Rodrigo to make a statement? I know I might have been very hard on Rodrigo for the last few weeks. I think for the right reasons, though. So I think this is a good opportunity for him now to kind of bounce back, if you will, and contribute in a good way with this context we are expecting in this game, with Real Madrid having good opportunities to counterattack and all that. This, I think this is kind of a make or break, a decisive game for Rodrigo, because if he doesn't perform at a at a very high level, I think that Brahim might start competing with him for the starting spot.
Jose, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, but I feel like this is a Rodrigo game. I feel like
should be
Champions League at home against a team that's going to open up. That's Rodrigo's jam. Like, you can, Vinny and him are going to, I mean, you can't ask for much more in terms of ideal scenarios. This is why generally Real Madrid also look better in the Champions League than they do in La Liga, because there's more space. There's less people in a low block kicking the shit out of you. So I just assume and look at this game that I think Rodrigo will, it'll suit him. Jose, what are your thoughts on this?
I've been a bit negative about Rodrigo lately, simply because I also see that the team has done a bit of a tactical change recently. Like, before, like, it feels subtle, but it is there that the team has moved. Well, at the beginning of the season, it was kind of a 4-4-2 diamond. Then it moved to kind of a flat 4-4-2. And now Ancelotti, like, in the last month or so, has been moving to, I wouldn't call it a diamond, I would call it more of a 4-3-3, with, say, Bellingham's position almost being kind of more of a false nine. And then the attackers are wide open again, like wingers. And that concerns me a bit, because Rodrigo, when you put him too far out wide, especially on the right, he just disappears from games. And I think there's, of course, an individual factor, but there's also a tactical factor of why he's been, like, participating less in games. Like, he's been stuck to the right wing more often than usual. The best Rodrigo is the one that comes inside, goes more over to the left, starts combining with other players. So that has also been a that shift has also been a factor in making Rodrigo not participate as much in the games. And that worries me, because honestly, if you put Brahim in that same position, he would do more currently than what Rodrigo is doing.
Yeah,
like, from that right wing position, Brahim can do better. And that's the thing I find concerning, that it's not just Rodrigo being in bad form. I think tactically the team is moving in such a way that's actually making Rodrigo participate less in the game. So I'm not super hopeful about tomorrow. Of course, if he could show up, that that would be a statement. But and there will be spaces. Leipzig has more incentive to press high. There will be spaces for him to run at people. But I think at some point Rodrigo is going to have to, because the thing is that there have been times in previous years where, say, Ancelotti put Rodrigo on the right, and then he took his own initiative and he went and went into more center positions. He has to take that initiative again, because if he just stays on the right wing, we're just not going to see him.
That first leg, too, guys, like, we'll remember the Brahim Golasso, but what we won't remember is he was pressing like a maniac. He was working really hard on defense. A couple times he gave the ball away with a bad pass. Immediately he hunts the player down and wins it back. The presence was there. Like, he wasn't just his goal. And I think that really matters. Like, the effort really mattered, that it wasn't just his goal, which was incredible. He put the team on his back in that moment, but also just his effort all around, from one to however long he was on the field. Did he play the full 90? No, he did not. But the entire time he was on the field, he made his presence known. And that's what I want from Rodrigo, is that often when whoever the front three is, whether it's Vinny, Rodrigo, Jude, Vinny, Brahim, Rodrigo is often the most quiet one. Now, sometimes that's because he's making third man runs and he's doing other things, but I would like to see him get on the ball a little bit more and not be as quiet. Sorry, I forgot to read this super chat that's been sitting on the screen for ages. Muhammad Al-Mandhari says, Kama will be at the presser, so probably he will start. Yeah, I think we did discuss that. I just want to go back to Kamavinga too. Reading that my notes from the first leg, he was actually really important in controlling Olmo. Olmo, like, remember that half space where Nacho was? We were getting cooked there. And if it wasn't for Kamavinga coming into that zone and controlling Olmo and putting in some really strong challenges, that also could have been worse. So I'm going to put Kamavinga down as an unsung hero from that night as well. And the other thing is, I don't know if we necessarily touched on this, but worth mentioning, we were terrible dealing with Leipzig's press that night as well. We were giving the ball away frenetically and making a lot of mistakes on the ball, and that needs to be cleaned up as well, because like you said, Jose, earlier, that I think Leipzig will come out aggressive because they have to, and they can put pressure on you, and that's something that I think we need to deal with a little bit better. So guys, we kind of surpassed the 30-minute mark that I had allocated for this. Do you guys have any other thoughts that you wanted to get across before we wrap it up here?
Not me, just wanted to touch a little bit on what Jose just said about the tactical changes. I haven't been a big fan of the last two changes Ancelotti has made to this team, which is the Bellingham false nine role. I'm not a fan of. I think he hasn't been as effective there as he were kind of behind the strikers, or at least alongside another striker. So I haven't been a big fan of that. And the other thing was the cross DM, which makes me a little bit worried whenever Real Madrid turned the ball over. But yeah, we'll see if Ancelotti kind of goes back to what he went with in the first third of the season or so, because now that he has pretty much everyone at his disposal, at least in the midfield and the offensive line, maybe it would be a good opportunity to play with the diamond, it was working well. At least Bellingham was working really well, and I'm looking forward to seeing kind of regaining some confidence and some form during this last third of the season.
Yeah, and to add to what Luca said, so I agree with that like with the tactical changes that Ancelotti has done lately, I'm not a big fan of like opening up the front three like this, because I think the strength of that Bellingham, Rodrigo, Vinicius unit is that they is how quickly they can combine when they're close together. And if you put them further apart like this, then you lose a bit of that. In general, I think the team, partly because of the absences, partly because of these tactical changes, I feel the team has been fighting out the games much better than it's playing them. Like, it's competing, they're getting it, they can get clutch goals and everything, but the team is struggling a bit to like consistently create chances. And in the end, they managed to get the goals in clutch moments, but overall I feel like the team has been playing a bit worse the last couple months. To me, like, the kind of inflection point was like after the Supercopa win against Barca. the team really started playing worse. Then they got that day in Girona where they played like Champions League final level. But then for the rest, it hasn't been that good. So hopefully this could be a good opportunity to get the team like in Champions League, back up in Champions League mode. Because like we know that what happened after the Girona game was like this team was way too tired because it essentially played a game with final intensity. And then it was a very bad game against Leipzig. So hopefully this might be an opportunity to recover. The key, again, Leipzig is going to go out to press. Don't lose. Like the team in possession last time was not that good. It's important to not lose the ball here. Because another thing that I noticed from that Bayern game is that Bayern often lost the ball in Leipzig's half. And if Olmo and Simons have to counterattack from their own half, it's a lot harder for them. But if Leipzig press and they recover the ball close to your goal, then they're going to have a lot more danger. So it's important not to lose the ball in your own half. That's one of the keys. But all in all, like I think even if this team doesn't play well, I think they can still get the clutch goals. Like they've been doing this at least for the last 2 months when they haven't been playing that well.
Yeah, and look, you can't, like, there's phases like this every season. There's going to be mm-hmm. phases where you go on a hot streak yep. and you look great. And ironically for us, it came, like, amid injury crisis and formation changes and making it work. And then, you know, and then there's always phases where maybe you win, but you don't play good, but you just get the job done and it's not pretty. And then there's sometimes going to be bad patches. So, you know, I think we've ridden it out still impressively overall. If you zoom out and look at the whole season and what we've been through and what we've done, I think it's been so far so good. So hopefully Leipzig will be one of the in-form better performances and better W's. I just realized this is our earliest live stream ever. We've never recorded this early for a live stream. This is like 6 a.m. back home. So tomorrow, I'm just thinking of this now. It's totally, I'm committing myself to it randomly. So I'll be at the Bernabeu. So I might just do a pregame stream from the stadium because tomorrow before the game, we'll have lineups. We'll have quotes from Camavinga, Ancelotti, Marco Rose, whoever is speaking in the Leipzig press conference. I'm not going to go to that. That's later today at the Bernabeu. I'm going to go sleep instead, but yeah. And you guys are more than welcome to join tomorrow as well.
All right. I'll be there. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Jose, thank you. Lucas, thank you. Guys,
thank you for tomorrow's pregame
live stream. You guys have to be there live. You can't come. You can't like listen to it after. I mean, you can, but it won't be posted on the podcast feed. Mm-hmm. It'll just be on archived on YouTube because it's too time sensitive basically. So just hop on live with us before the game, and we'll also see you after the game. And the post-game show tomorrow will be much later because I have to get home from the Bernabeu. So, yeah. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Thanks for tuning in. Take care. Right. Peace out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.